So hi, everybody, and welcome to our body balance call. It's our implementation call for the month. I got to get these names straight. For the month of July 2019, and we're here to help and support you with whatever place you are in implementing the program at this point and helping you to move forward, answer questions, just celebrate your progress. I see Pat. Hey, yes, unusual to see her. There she is. Anyway, oh no, it's not Pat Murphy. I thought I was thinking it was Pat Murphy. She looked like Pat Murphy from the distance. It's a different Patricia. So we're here to, I'd love to hear some celebrations from you. Like, where are you at? I'd love to just go around quickly, you know, maybe a minute each, and just hear, where are you at? Like, what are you implementing right now? And what are some of the things that you're celebrating, that you're doing well and excited about? So we can start up here, which would be Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Yeah, I was just working on finishing up the first section of module 2 on digestion and just working on my assessments. And I also completed the green cleanse. So that, you know, was quite a bit to do. But I went through all of that. So that was good. And I do feel like I cleansed some. So when we get to the point of questions, I'll talk more about that. But okay. Yeah.
Wonderful. Good for you. You're just moving ahead. And I love that everybody's moving ahead at their own pace, right? And that's what this is intended for, not to make you feel like, oh, Mary's up at, you know, module 4 and I'm only still on module 1. No, it's really intended to create new habits that you can make for a lifetime. And we don't do that by trying to rush through things. We do that by taking our time and making sure that they integrate. So congratulations. Thank you, Elizabeth. And what about Patricia? Whoops, I've got to unmute you. Let's see if I can. I got it. No? Okay, try yourself. Maybe sometimes. There you go.
This is Patricia in Peru.
In Peru, that's right. I was looking from when you were looking down, you looked a lot like Pat Murphy.
Oh, okay. I don't know Pat Murphy. Thank you, though. Okay, so I'm, I have done the green cleanse. I'm just on the last module of, the last step of module 1, which is about elimination. I think my approach has been a little bit not real organized because right after we started the class, I went to the States for 3 weeks. And so, yeah, it was like I did some cleansing before and then I dove right back into the green cleanse. So all of June was spent with the green cleanse, the pre and the actual cleanse and the post, and trying to figure out my sugar regulation as well at the same time, the blood sugar, and now looking at these elimination of foods, although during the green cleanse, I haven't been, for all the whole month, I haven't been eating any carbs or sugar or coffee. So, yeah, I've lost weight. I don't know how much. I don't have a scale.
Oh, great. But you feel it. That's what really counts.
But, yeah, I feel it and just really want to get a handle. I'm a little confused about the sugar because, I don't know if it's supposed to, like go down and then go up again after a meal or if it's an improper reading.
I'd have to see exactly. I mean, I don't think there's a, you know, everybody has a slightly different response, like some people would. Generally speaking, it goes up after a meal. It depends on where you start, but if you start, say, at this baseline, it'll just start to creep up, right, hit a peak, and then come back down, and then level out somewhere where it starts. So if you're immediately going down, or you're going down within 45 minutes, you know, it might be your body's overproducing insulin, and at the beginning, there's too much insulin and not enough food that's gotten in yet. And then it catches up and then you go into. So one of the ways that you can share this is, did they have access to that chart? It's the insulin glucose chart, Lynn. Maybe not. Maybe we should. Yeah, they do. They have it in the sweet spot module. There's a document it's a spreadsheet document. And you can go in and you can just put in your numbers, the time and your numbers, and it'll graph it for you. It's really cool. And you can do like up to 7 days in there, but then you can just copy the whole thing and do it for as many as you want to.
Okay, is that in metabolic reset in module 3? Because I'm not
Is it in the metabolic reset? It's in where the tracking documents are, and yes, in the metabolic reset.
Okay.
And it might also be up in the drop-down menu. I think there's like an extras menu.
So it can also, it's also in foundations. And when you go into foundations, you'll see those glucose testing resources.
Okay.
There you go. It's on the glucose testing chart. Yeah. And yeah. It's a really cool chart because you could get to see patterns.
Okay, that's good because now I'm really testing a lot, you know, and even during the pre-green cleanse or the post, I don't remember which, I could see potatoes, banana, pear. Those things made my sugar go up to 130, but normally it's staying, you know, I think I had a 111 once, a 108. And then I didn't realize this, like yesterday morning, my fasting glucose was 73. And then after 2 hours of activity before eating, doing my exercise walk and just chores, it was 97.
That's not uncommon.
Okay, so I was surprised, I was shocked. I said, oh, I haven't even eaten yet.
Yeah, that's not uncommon. And the stress thing. Something happened to me this morning that reiterated that. I'm like, oh, I'm in the 60s. I'm in the 70s. And then I got upset about something. I was rushing out the door because I told my son I would meet him. And I get in the car and I have the continuous meter. And I can now do it with my phone. You just hold the phone up. You see it?
Yes.
I was like, I haven't eaten anything. It was 67 this morning and now it's 107. What? Then I realized that stress, that hurry up, get out the door, finish this, get this done, as I was driving, I was doing my heart math with my eyes open. And I just, you know, it's easy to test it because I just have to grab my phone and hold it up. And it was like, it just kind of kept coming down until right before I met my son for lunch. And it was like 78.
So okay.
It does make a difference how stressed you get and how I was like, okay, I'm not good. This isn't good. If I was wanting my sugar to be that high, I'm going to go eat something really good. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want it to be that way because I got stressed. So yeah. And then if you were doing this and you were doing chores and you're doing errands and then you're exercising, it could definitely go up.
Okay. Okay. So then I won't worry about that because I wasn't sure. I thought this doesn't make sense, you know, so I'm really getting used to it, but I want to devote this month into continuing with the green drinks and salads. I mean, I mostly almost eat vegetables, although I do eat occasionally some meat or fish, but I want to really get a handle on that, on the testing with the glucose and the patterns and looking at that. And I want to do the metabolic reset. So I'm going to do the elimination plan first.
Yes.
And then do the, you know, hopefully by then I can do the metabolic reset and just keep going, you know, with everything. But
it's a life process, right? It's figuring out that's the whole maintenance thing. It's figuring it out. And what do you need to do to balance the particular areas? And then how do we keep it balanced? Because getting balanced is one thing and staying balanced is another, right?
Exactly. Because if you go back to eating, you know, rice and potatoes and all of that stuff, it's just going to go back to the way it was.
Yeah. And it may not go as high if you've healed some of it. And you may be able to tolerate some, right? A little bit of this here and there. And it all depends on your genetics and how, you know, inflamed and all that kind of stuff. So we just kind of, and you said a word that I wanted to point out. You said, I'm not going to worry about it. And I'm just going to say, let's not worry about anything, right? I was talking about this yesterday, wonder and curiosity. You can wonder about something. You can be curious about something. And until you have like several weeks worth of tracking and see what patterns are, there may be some patterns that arise that you're not able to see until you get enough data points to be able to compare. And then you go, oh, look at that. Every time my cat tears up the litter box and I have to clean it and I get angry, my blood sugar goes up. You know, I'm making that up, but you know what I mean? But you might see some patterns that go on.
It could happen. And I have to say that the heart math is wonderful. I haven't yet gotten into the habit of doing it 5 times a day or before every meal. But yeah, every time even I feel something's coming at me that might be stressful, right away I go there.
Right. That's what's important.
So that is really, 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 really good. Yeah.
Good. It shifts so quickly. But if we get into that unconscious incompetence, right? We're just doing our thing. This is the way I always reacted. Oh, wait, this isn't the best way to, oh, how can I? And we more little by little, little by little, little by little, we shifted. And then suddenly the response is, oh, this thing is coming at me. Oh, I have a technique.
Exactly. And, yeah. And I realize this is for everybody, you know, only you can change you.
That's correct.
But you're giving us the tools and the support and, you know, everybody, you know, that's on this path. It's really great. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's impossible to do alone.
It's hard, really hard to do alone. Even for those of us who've been doing it for a long time, having community and having commitment and accountability makes a huge difference, right?
Yes.
So I didn't do the green cleanse this time because I was traveling. But when I'm home, if I could say, oh, I'm going to just drink greens this week. I'm going to just drink green this week. And I may say that for like 4 months straight. Yeah. And then we schedule it. I go, I'm going to just drink greens this week. And sure enough, and I did for the first like 4 days. But then, you know, I was in Boston with my son for his birthday and whatever. And I got off of it, but I still ate well, but I didn't do it. So the accountability is important wherever you are on the path and however long you've been on the path. So thank you.
Thank you so much for your enthusiasm and your passion and everything that you give us. You really give us a lot.
Thank you. It means a lot to me to say that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So we're next going to, who did you say? AS is... remember, she's frozen still, isn't
Anya.
She? Anya. Anya, you're frozen. Try speaking, Anya. See if it comes through. No. Okay, we'll move to Cindy then. Hi, Cindy. Unmute.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
So I'm at Unit 2, Module 2.
Oh, perfect.
The digestion... Right? The digestive section? Okay.
Yep. And that would be upper GI.
Yeah. I haven't started it yet. But I've also been monitoring my blood sugar all this time.
Mm-hmm.
I just came back from Maui for 2 weeks.
Oh.
It was great. Oh. It was wonderful.
Great place.
I have a couple of praises about that. I didn't gain any weight.
Yes.
Which is huge for me. That's huge.
Awesome. That's
I
awesome.
Mean, I wore my Fitbit and we walked for like 2 hours every day because I really did not want to. I always gain weight when I traveled. And so that was really big to me. And I went back to the Y again because, you know, after, if you don't, I was real, you know, I did it every day before. Like it's been a few months since I've been doing that. And then I went away and usually it takes me forever to get back, but it only took a few days for me to get back. So I was there today. And so I'm really excited about that. And the bigger thing to me is that I did not get sick. I used to always get sick when I traveled.
Really? Oh.
Yes. I always caught something on the plane, or I don't know what it was, if it was stress or the plane or whatever. But I you know, because I've been doing my supplements, I've been doing all this, and I didn't catch anything. So I was just like praising the Lord for that.
Yay. Congratulations. It's awesome.
Yeah. Pretty much can only eat greens and vegetables and some protein. If I eat anything else, my blood sugar goes up. My fasting blood sugar is usually 93. And I also just discovered that the moving around and chores and any stress raises it. But I had some chia seed pudding this morning or this afternoon with oat milk and some pine nuts. And I was shocked to see that my blood sugar went up to 155.
Mm. Oat milk.
I didn't realize. Now I know.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that because it's like crushed up oats, right?
Yeah. And it's quicker to digest and get in. Like oats have a lot of pectin and a lot of soluble fiber in them. So if you cook them and eat them, it's not going to raise your blood sugar anywhere near as quickly as the milk. So I would, if you're going to drink any kind of commercial non-dairy milk, make sure it's a nut-based or coconut, not grain.
Okay, yeah. I'm not doing that anymore.
But good to know, because probably the chia would have been fine if you'd put...
Yeah. And the pine nuts too, I just thought they were like normal nuts, but I mean, do all nuts have carbs?
Everything has carbs in it, yeah. Except your fat, right? But it's just a matter of what, and usually the nuts don't raise unless you overdo on cashews, which so tends probably, to be a little higher yeah. in carbs.
So it probably was the oat milk.
Yeah, given that's not a lot of detective work okay. to figure that one out. Yeah. Yeah. So, try the same thing again, but do it, you know, without any milk or make yourself some ground up, you know, walnuts or something and
yeah.
your own milk that way or coconut. Coconut does have a little bit more carb than your average nut too. So, okay. you know, when you look at the fat, the whole food fats, right? Avocados probably doesn't have any. It's almost 100% fat. It has very little carbs. So that's avocado is one of the things for me that makes my sugar go down rather than up. So if I'm feeling like, my blood sugar went up a little too much, I'll make some guacamole and eat that. Then if you look at something like olives, there's not a lot of carbs in olives. They're very high percentages fat and a little bit of protein. But coconut, there's more carb, right? So especially if you get a commercial coconut milk and you don't know if they've used some of the water from the coconut or that kind of stuff. Right. Cashews tend to be a little higher in carb.
Yeah.
Macadamia nut, not as much. And the other nuts and the seeds for sure have less.
Okay.
Less. Yeah.
All right.
So play with it and figure it out, right? Because you don't want to, you want to be able to have some fat on your greens.
Oh, yeah.
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 So. Good. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
So did Anya undo? She's still frozen. All right. So Jeannie.
Okay, I just was saying in the chat, probably my biggest celebration, and we talked earlier this week that we just heard back from my daughter-in-law's MRI, and it was benign, her lesion on the liver.
Beautiful.
So we were, there's something, I can't remember the name right now, but it's like hemangioma or something like that. It's
like a hemangioma?
Maybe that's it, yeah. And so anyway, that's what it is. And it's small right now. So unless it grows, I don't think that they really do anything for it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's my big celebration because
great.
I was very concerned for the last week or so. So
good. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah. But just on my trip, I, you know, did really well. I came back after doing the, like we were gone 8 days, 8 or 9 days, and had lost a pound. So I, you know, really
was great on vacation. That's really good.
We did a lot of walking, and so that helped. But my blood sugar has been staying pretty much in the 80s. This morning it was 77, so I was happy.
Wow, you just mentioned that last night on the call, and you said, well, I want to get it in the 70s. What else do I have to do? I'm like, be happy with it in the 80s.
And you know what I did, I think? The only thing that I know of that I did really different was I ate early. I probably ate about 5:30, and then I didn't eat again till probably around 10 this morning. And so I think when you know, just the length of time that I went.
The time makes a difference. That's what I said to you yesterday too. I think I said intermittent fasting.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So yeah. I do need to try that. I've always been kind of afraid of it, thinking that, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can go that long without eating. But
well, you just did it. You went from 5:30 till 10. That's like what, 14 hours, 15 hours?
I think I counted 15.
15 hours. There you go. You just did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then everybody, if you are going to do intermittent fasting, it's finding your ideal fasting window, right? A lot of people, it's like eat dinner by 4 and don't eat again until breakfast the next day. And for some, it's like eat dinner at 8 or 9 and don't eat until noon the next day. And it just matters. And we all have to respect our bodies and what they want, not what some textbook says and not what the trend is, but how do we respond to it? And some people, 12 hours is great. And more than that just gets them into, you know, imbalance and great. And a lot of people with adrenal issues really, really need to eat that breakfast first thing in the morning. So it's really, that's what, why we do what we do with these programs, is to just take you through so you can experiment and expose you to a lot of concepts, but doesn't mean I'm saying you must do this and you must do that. Let's figure it out.
Right.
Right. And we figured it out with Cindy. If I had said to her at the beginning, don't ever eat oat milk again. Why? And when she just figured it out, she was like, oh, I think the oat, you know what I mean? Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Good. Thank you, Jeannie.
We learn as we go.
We do. And it's always a learning process, always.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. How about Jay? What can we hear from you?
Oh, it's about the same for me. One thing that I've observed on my blood pressure, though, is if my blood pressure is high and I eat a meal, it'll go down pretty significantly. So I've been doing fasting, I guess, in that, for example, today I haven't had anything to eat at all yet.
Wow.
Last meal I had last night, it was probably about 6:30 or 7, something like that. And I'm not even really hungry right now.
Wow.
So I probably won't be hungry for at least another couple hours or so.
That gives you a 24-hour fast. You know, here's the thing, though, I think fasting is amazing, and you know that, you know, I do it, but what we have to be careful is how we do fasting and how frequently we do fasting. Because like anything else, the body will get used to it. So if you do 2 days a week of what you're just doing right now, like if you get to 5:30 and you did, you know, that's a 24-hour, 23-hour, close to 24-hour fast. If you were to do that twice a week with like 2 days in between, that gives your body enough time to be guessing, like, and not establish a new norm for your metabolism. Like, oh, Jay doesn't eat, so let's slow him down. Jay's not eating still, let's slow him down, right?
I think that's what I'm trapped into, actually.
Yeah, and I think that would be a good thing. Like say on, you know, Tuesdays and Fridays, you do a 24-hour fast, and then the others, you have at least one quote-unquote feast day. Doesn't mean go out for pizza and beer. It doesn't mean to have chocolate chip cookies and cupcakes. What it means is to eat more of a normal kind of a thing, because if you continuously slow down or reduce the number of calories you're taking in, your body's going to get used to that new norm, and everything slows down. It's not just that you don't have as much energy or oomph, but all your organ and gland systems are conserving, right? So you keep it guessing. And I don't know if you've read anything by Dr. Pompa. He just wrote a book and it hasn't come out yet, but he talks about the metabolic and hormonal flexibility being with this guessing thing. So he recommends, like, okay, 2 days a week that you do the 24-hour fasting. And then 1 day a week, you do what he calls feasting. And it's just eating maybe a little bit more carbs and a little, but more calories is what it really is, right? And it's really not more, like say you're burning 2000 calories a day, maybe you eat 2100 calories a day. It just keeps your body having to go into that, oh, I got to store this. Oh, look, I have to retrieve it. Because today he's not eating anything, and it goes back and forth and it never gets adjusted, right? And so that would be a good thing to look at. If you go to his Fasting for a Purpose Facebook group, he's got a lot of videos in there, and he talks about the one.
I've been on his website.
Oh, you have. I love that concept, right? And figuring out what that balance is for you, because he says it really helps to keep the hormones balanced as well.
Yeah, I just thought it was an interesting interplay, though, with the blood pressure.
That the blood pressure goes, you know, so it could be that your body's perceiving you're in emergency mode, right? And it's kind of mobilizing you and getting your cortisol levels up. Do you notice it?
Well, maybe it's devoting more blood supply for digestive purposes or something like that. But I don't know if that really relates to pressure, though.
I don't know that that would relate to pressure.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it seems like you might be in a sympathetic response when you're continuously not eating for long periods of time. And your body's thinking, okay, we're stuck on an island, right? Let's not burn any of that stored fat right now, because we don't know how long we're going to be stuck here.
Yeah, no, preservation mode. Right?
Yeah. So play with that. I would just play with that and find what works for you. Because I know that, you know, you do. You've talked about this for a long time, that you are doing a lot of extended and intermittent type fasting, but that you seem to have plateaued weight-wise as opposed to continuing to lose. So you want to keep it guessing. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Thank you. And Anya's there. Anya, right? She was back. She was moving a second ago.
Yeah, she has shifted position.
Yeah, I did see her move. I saw some movement there. Anyway, okay, well.
Probably outside, so.
Is, because it looks like she's under an awning of some sort there, yeah, at the edge of the house. Okay, we'll go to Diana.
I did also want to point out we have some people on the phone. So when you're done with...
Yeah, I was just looking there.
Yeah.
Those of you who are on the phone, I'd love to hear from you. Or if you just don't have your camera open, put your hand up. Do a, what do you do to put your hand up? You press the thing that says open hand. There, she's moving now. Anya, I'm going to catch her while I can, Diana. So I'm not hearing you though. And it doesn't say you're muted. I don't even see your mic, which is concerning me. You know, usually if you're muted or unmuted, I can see it.
She might only be on like a phone or something.
On a phone, not getting.
Doesn't have, yeah.
She's going indoors. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
Oh, and Denise Kitt just came on. Nice. Okay, so try speaking. Are you going to get on your computer? If you are, I'll just move to somebody else while you switch. No, still not hearing you. No. I'm going to go to Denise and see if you can figure it out. Maybe you can switch to computer or whatever. Wait, I just heard an echo.
Do you have another Denise? Or?
Nope, it's you, Denise. Hi, okay. Denise.
Okay. Yeah, I just came on a couple minutes ago. And so are you
just going around and doing a quick check-in, like what module you're working on or what you're working on? Yeah.
Thanks. Yes, I'm still in module 2. I think I'm going to be camping out there for a while.
It's a good place to camp.
yeah. And so I'm not real sure. I guess the thing that's been most significant and it's happened, and it's not really a praise, it's a concern, but I'm not really worried about it, I don't think. But I, for 6 weeks, my functional medicine doctor, which I've been seeing a few months, thinks I have SIBO, although we've not tested, but she suspects that. So she put me on an herb by Designs for Health called GI Microbics. Are you familiar with that? You know, it's about 5 different herbs.
Yep.
So it really, I seem to do fine on just one. She said, I want you to go so slowly. So I just have been taking one pill a day. I have been on D-lactate-free probiotics during that same time. And I've been encouraged because my bowels have finally been moving like I think they're supposed to.
Nice. Well,
then after 6 weeks, she said, okay, let's go up, add one more pill of the GI microbics. Well, what happened is I started getting really loose stools. And so it just started getting, I mean, liquid. I'm sorry, gross to y'all. But anyway, so I got off the pills and I've been off I'm still taking the probiotic, but I got off the antimicrobial. But I'm still having the, you know, real loose bowel movement. And I've been off it for a week. Now, I don't feel bad. I mean, you know, my gut feels kind of tired. But I don't feel like I'm sick, really. So I'm thankful for that. I talked to Steph Jackson yesterday because she had her monthly call. I'm taking the yogurt class. And she, you know, is so knowledgeable about probiotics and strains, and she suggested that maybe one of the herbs in that mix, that GI microbes, maybe I'm reacting to one of those. You know, she didn't know, so she suggested maybe just stay off of it, get a stool test, and then see what's going on, and if you can do a specific herb to the problem versus the 5, because I don't know what's causing the problem.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to let you know and see if you have any other thoughts.
Yes, I do. And I'm thinking you were okay on the 1 and everything seems
right.
Good. And it got too quick, too rapid. And then you
with
started killing things off. And when you kill things off, their cell walls have the lipopolysaccharide in them and other endotoxins. And they release that. And that can cause problems and cause an issue, right? So it's almost like a Herxheimer reaction where you're killing them. It's good, but it was too fast.
Right.
So, but the curious thing is that when you stopped, it didn't go back.
Right.
So, I would agree with Steph and stay off of them for a bit, until it normalizes again. Mm-hmm. Right. And you could try increasing the probiotic and see you're doing a D-lactate, like the custom probiotic.
Yes. Which is a good bet. You know, it's got a lot of, it's.
Are you taking the baby scoop or the full scoop?
The full scoop.
Oh, you are. That's a lot.
Yeah, I've been taking the full scoop for, almost 2 months, and I seem to do okay with it.
Okay. Then the other thing I could think of, too, to help to get things back to normal is some sort of a binder, like zeolite or charcoal or modified citric pectin, or there's one other I was thinking about, zeolite.
I have activated charcoal. Is that the same thing?
Try that and see, because sometimes what happens is those things will bind to the toxins that have been released and allow them to get out without them, you know, recycling and staying in there and all that. So that sometimes helps, and see if you can get that. And plus charcoal will slow things down a little bit.
Okay. So how many should I take? One a day?
I would just start with one. You know what? Because you just had a problem when you went to two. And if that works okay and it clears it up, just stick to one. But if you're still, maybe it's a little better, or maybe not, then you can try two. But I would always, given, you know, that you've shown some sensitivity, I would just go with, always start small.
Okay. And with take it with a meal?
The charcoal, no. You take it away from a meal.
Okay.
So the best time to take it would be before you go to bed.
Okay.
All right, so it can do its thing overnight.
Okay.
Yeah, if you take it with a meal or with supplements, it'll tend to bind to some of the nutrients.
I see. Okay.
We want it to bind to whatever's hanging out in there.
Okay.
Right, so I would say probably an hour before bed.
I was assuming nothing was hanging out since it's all coming out.
Nothing in terms of solids, right? But in terms of bugs and in terms of the toxins.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to bind to those things and pull those things out.
Okay. And so I've been taking the probiotic in the morning, like 30 minutes before I eat. Is that?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And I'm also
in the morning in the charcoal at night.
And I'm taking like a teaspoonful of acacia root along with the probiotic, since I thought maybe it was a prebiotic. Is that okay?
If that's been working.
It seems to.
Yeah, then keep it up. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Who haven't I told on? Diana. There you go. And then Anya. Okay, Diana. And then we'll go see who is over there.
Hi.
Hi.
So much happening. Most of it's in the garden, though.
That's good. I'm glad that you're out there.
Yeah. That's, I guess, kind of my win is and my interesting comment. During the wintertime, of course, we're so limited with our veggies and stuff. I've been working on green smoothies every day, but I've had such a limited selection. It's pretty much been broccoli, celery, spinach, or kale if we can get it here, which is not very often. And that's about it. And then all the powders that I put in. And my body had really gotten used to that and adjusted to it. And now that the garden is coming in, I'm trying to add little bits. I've started adding the herbs like dandelion greens and, little at a time as it started. But now our garden is exploding. And we're not buying anything from the grocery store at all anymore. And I've got stuff coming out my eyeball. But it actually was causing an issue. I've got so many new things coming in. And you mentioned to Jay, and that's what kind of triggered this thought. You mentioned to Jay how he's messing with his body and his body's going into this, sympathetic kind of reaction to it. My body had been so adjusted to so limited of a diet that now that it's kind of expanding, even though it's really, really good stuff, my gut is just saying, wait, time out.
I got used to all this. Now you're adding five more things.
Yeah, exactly. So, and actually one of them really seemed to have triggered, because we, in talking with my coach, we were talking about what have you added specifically? Give me each individual thing. Well, one of the things is that I added a small quantity of rhubarb, raw. Oops. that's probably what triggered it, because I was adding the other things and wasn't having a problem. And it wasn't until I started adding that little, maybe not even a quarter of a cup of rhubarb, that I started having these gut issues. Anyway, we've modified some of the enzyme products that I'm taking, and I've removed the rhubarb, and things seem to be settling back down, even despite the fact that I've got probably 10 ingredients going into the smoothies. Everything is
settled. That's awesome. Yeah, rhubarb is pretty powerful, and it's very high in oxalates.
And it being raw, that was probably the trigger. Mm-hmm. I think if I steamed it and did away with whatever the raw part is that's causing an issue, I could probably handle a little bit of it. But I haven't had time to do that yet. So you haven't done it.
Yeah. I would even recommend, I don't normally recommend boiling things.
Right.
But rhubarb, given how high it is, I would let it boil, and then I would throw away the water and rinse it real well. Because oxalates, you know, not everybody's sensitive to them, but the concentrated amount in rhubarb is actually not very good. And it's pulling out a lot of your calcium and magnesium.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, well, that was interesting, because I didn't have any trouble with spinach or any of the other high oxalates. And
no things as high as rhubarb.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah.
That's great. And normally when we do rhubarb, we do cook it. So, boil
it. Rhubarb pie, right? That's what people usually do. They add a lot of sugar to it and make it into a pie.
Right. Well, and then when I steam the juice to save it for to make syrups and jellies later, it's been heated up to 185 degrees and then released its juice. So that's removed a lot of
that's very different than eating it raw. And I don't, to me, as I picture it, that it's just a very dense, hearty, very cellulose-rich stem and the leaves as well. So I think that might be it, because you were just getting your gut healed, and now it's going, what is this straw you're putting in me?
Yeah. It was, like I said, it was such a small quantity. And I remember my daughters used to go out, and they'd pick the rhubarb and take salt shaker and eat it raw like celery. I mean, they crunch on it. It's very crunchy. And
I've never done that.
So it didn't even dawn on me.
Didn't dawn on you that your body would be sensitive to it. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, but when Drina said that was probably what triggered it. So we removed that, and then she said, now wait and see. And if that's not it, then you're going to have to start removing
other things. Then you have to start with removing other things, right.
But that seemed to be the one that was triggering everything.
Awesome, because it's like that with the blood sugar. That goes back to Cindy, right, where she mentioned a few things, and as soon as she said oat milk, I was like, now she could take the oat milk out and try that again, and if she still gets an elevation of the blood sugar, then we go, well, it might have been the oat milk, but it's something else too, and so then we have to start pulling out the other things to figure it out.
Yep, absolutely. And the only other good piece of news I've got is we're just about ready to start our homegrown kimchi.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got all the ingredients, and that's my afternoon project.
I just want to have an afternoon to do that. I get so excited. Tony posted in the kimchi site, and she posted these pictures of her beautiful kimchis that she made. And I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah. And now I will be posting there too when I get it. So, and then Drina posted one, I think it was yesterday or today, I can't remember. She made her first kimchi of the season. So.
Oh, nice.
It's kimchi season. I'm down to like the last.
All right, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. I'd like to make daikon kimchi.
Oh, I'm going to use that, the kohlrabis for the daikon.
Mm.
I don't have a daikon radish yet. It's too soon to start them.
That would be great, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to make a great one. So, and then I got some pak choy and... then I've got all kinds of other greens, so it's going to be a real interesting summer.
Beautiful.
Leave it out there.
I hope you get a lot of it stored away that you can use once you get to the... Yeah.
Yep, my cabbage is about ready, too, so...
It's
a real busy season. So.
Anyway. All right. Well, thank you, Diana.
Okay. Thank you all.
So we're going to go to Anya. I keep seeing you moving around, so maybe we can hear you now. Try speaking. I'm hearing thunder. Nope. No, she keeps freezing. Darn. Maybe try calling on the telephone. That might work. Sometimes people will have their picture up and then they call in on the phone. It's a little bit off, like if you see the mouth moving and then you hear the voice, but that could be helpful. Oh, darn. So let's look to see who's here. And when she comes back in, I'm determined to get her speaking. Angelica, do you have anything to say? Whoops, unmute. There you go.
What would you like to hear? Any successes or?
Yeah. I know you did a fast a couple of days. You did some green. I mean, you've been doing a lot of stuff. So yeah, I want to hear.
I have. Well, past couple of nights were a little rough with sleep, so not at the moment feeling so successful. But yeah, the fasting's interesting. You know, I think I alluded before to you that around the 36-hour mark is when I really start to get hit with, I don't know, the itis. I don't know what that means. Maybe you could enlighten us.
I don't know, because everybody's, oh, and there's David. Everybody's different, right? And there's something there, and you just, you play with that, and you go, okay, so I can fast up to 35 hours, and then you do that. You just intermittently do that a couple of days, you know, a couple of days a month or whatever.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, I think I'll try to go a little longer, and then you go to the 35th hour, and if you make it past, then you go to the, you know what I mean? But we all have to just trust our bodies, because to figure out every little nuance of every little reaction, it's just challenging. And what it does is it puts a lot of stress and strain and pressure on us, right? Like sometimes we're just not going to understand it. We go, oh, maybe it was this and maybe it was that. And something that had caused my blood sugar up to like 150 a few weeks back. And I'm like, what the heck could that have been? I ate these vegetable skewers at a reception and everything went along. Okay, well, and then somebody said to me, were they marinated? People in public, they marinate things in lots of sugar. It was probably marinated. And I'm like, duh, okay, that was probably what it did. Because I'm like, was it carrots? But I'd eaten carrots before. And I was just driving myself nutty trying to figure it out. But let's just look at things with wonder and curiosity and go, wow, that's interesting. What's going on with my metabolism? That at that point, I start to crash. And then you just see how it goes. And some people will never fast and some people will never be able to skip breakfast comfortably. You know what I mean? And it may not be the best thing for you. Like we can't have this concept of like, we revere the green smoothie and everybody needs to drink. You can't drink them. There must be something wrong with you. Well, maybe, wow, it just started pouring rain. It's like going sideways like this. Wow. No, it's like, if there's a sensitivity there, there's something that your body's saying right now, this is not good for me, right? So right now, your body's saying, no, something is just not good to go past here. And it tells you to stop. Not like you're right, you know, you've tried.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can keep doing it and just play with that edge and see what happens.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Sounds good.
I see David. Hi, David. Unmute. There we go. Hi, David.
Let me see. So it's interesting hearing this progress. Congratulations to everybody who's making progress.
Thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's like it comes and goes, but right now it's good.
Okay. kind of working backwards, my recent revelation is that my main issue is conversion of T4 to T3, which thinking that it was lack of T4, I was just doing all the wrong things. So my functional doctor had me try and reduce my amount of armor, and I couldn't deal with that. I was taking a little bit of T3 each morning along with the armor. I tried not taking that, and that was even more impactful. And I just became totally non-productive throughout the day, sleeping all day long. I put it back in, and I'm starting productive again. I'm looking for the root cause. I don't want to just keep taking T3. Thinking about where in the body does the conversion take place. And it was mentioned recently that I think 50% of it occurs in the liver.
Mm-hmm. Approximately, yeah, the 25.
That my digestion and liver and elimination are at issue. So, yeah. So those are the areas I'm focusing on.
Beautiful. And let me talk about the
thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it's good. It's because there was this delay, so I thought I'd jump in. But if you want to finish, then I'll jump in and give you a couple of words of what's coming up for me.
So I'm taking digestive enzymes to try and get better absorption. as apparently things like magnesium and a few other things aren't having effects. I still get leg cramps in the morning. Certain measurements, my blood tests are on low edge of optimal. When I think I'm eating plenty of that kind of thing in my normal food and even in supplements. So I've regularized my bowel movements and I don't have to take as much magnesium anymore. And I think that's the digestive enzymes.
Good.
So I tried a liver detox once and everything went black for a day or two. I gave up on that. When I first took the digestive enzymes, my stools were totally black and then they normalized pretty quick.
All right. So can I give you a couple of things that might be good for you to look at?
Please. Yes.
I'm thinking of looking at topical nutrients while you're solving it. And this is true for everybody. Recently came up, Janine, one of our practitioners came up with this company. And is it called PatchMD, Lynn? Okay. The company's called PatchMD and they make a lot of patches which are nutrients. So they have CoQ10 and they have glutamine and glutathione and all kinds of stuff. So that's an option. And then topical magnesium, like there's cream, there's oils, there's lotions, and getting that and putting it on wherever you tend to have the cramps. And of course you want to be solving the other problem, but it's a great solution to folks who are having difficulty with digestion and, you know, consistently not getting absorption, even though you're taking great stuff. So PatchMD, they have a sleep one. So those of you who have trouble sleeping, there's some sleep stuff. So a lot of times people will take some sleep formulas, but they're not actually absorbing it. So it doesn't really help. So I would give those a try. Really, really look at that. And then the other thing was there's other things in the conversion. So yes, looking at root cause, looking at the gut and the liver, because 75% between the gut and the liver is right there. It's a little tiny bit in the thyroid, a little bit in the kidneys and the other peripheral tissue, but mostly gut and liver. So it's really important for thyroid function. But selenium is an important mineral. And as we speak, and we're talking about having difficulty with getting minerals in, if you're having difficulties with getting selenium in, right, and that's a key player in the conversion from T4 to T3. Do you want to look at that? And I don't know if they have selenium. I think they do. I think I remember her saying they do have it as a topical patch. So we could either do that or get an ionic liquid.
I was trying the ionic liquid, but I don't know how much to use.
I would go for probably a couple hundred, 200 to 400 micrograms a day to start to front load it. Yeah. Eating Brazil nuts, but if you're having a digestive issue, right, is your body really going to be able to pull it out? And then the stress, right? Too much or too little cortisol will affect that conversion between the two. So looking at cortisol levels in the adrenals and doing some things that will, depending on whether it's too much or too little, help there.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
My TSH, since I was originally put on all T3, my TSH has for like 7 years been next to zero. Does TSH stimulate creation of T4 in the body?
Yeah.
Or does it have anything to do with conversion?
It doesn't generally have anything to do with conversion. So TSH gets secreted from the pituitary. So basically there's TRH, which is secreted from the hypothalamus that says, okay, wake up pituitary, go get your thyroid to work. Then it produces a TSH and that has a specific way that it goes in its pathways to produce the thyroid hormones. But typically 90% of everything the thyroid produces is T4. Very little, if any, T3 is going to be produced. So yes, it will stimulate that, but it will be stimulated to produce by reading the blood, and the reading is either T3 or T4, right? So if you're taking the Cytomel T3 and you see that your TSH goes plummeting down, it's because it's going, oh, look at this, we're good. We don't have to make any more. And so that's the risk we run when we take hormones. We have to take just the Goldilocks amount. It's not going to be too much that's going to shut down the pituitary stimulation.
Well, my pituitary has been shut down for 7 years. It's been zero on quarterly tests for 7 years. That was Dr. Holtorf originally did that. And then my functional doctor transitioned me to mostly armor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the TSH hasn't recovered, and I tried cutting back on my dosage a little to see if it might, and it came up to 0.02.
And then in terms of going off of it, I mean, I'm just throwing this out there. This is something to talk to your functional medicine doc.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of keeping the body guessing, one of the things that, you know, it's like, okay, this weekend I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to be functional, but I'm not going to take any thyroid medication this weekend, just to give my pituitary like a little like, oh, look, wait. And it kind of can start to wake up. And obviously you can't be functional that way. So having some variation and variability, and it may be something to talk to the doctor who prescribed it to see if that's even reasonable. I mean, most Western doctors would say, what are you nuts? And that's not the way we do it.
No, she's trying to get me to reduce my dosage. She thinks I'm taking as much as somebody who had the thyroid removed was taking.
Yeah,
and I've never had anything other than my gut issues as a reason for having thyroid issues.
Yeah, so to pituitary, you know, some the pituitary will get also inhibited by high levels of adrenal hormones, ACTH.
Okay.
So if you haven't already done one, you may want to do a Dutch test. I think we talked about this on one of
I'm doing that as soon as I schedule it. Yes, I'm already lined up for that.
Yeah, it would be good to see that and just see what you can do to kind of play with that HPA axis to try to help.
Okay. Yeah, I've done the ASI saliva tests in the past, and it was just on the edges of normal.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'll give you the intermediates, the metabolites, just to see what the picture looks like.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
All right. Are we going to be able to talk to Anya yet? She's moving her lips and nothing's coming through. Darn it. Let's see who else is here. We have Francis. Francis, she has her hand up. I'm going to unmute you, Francis. You're on your iPad, it looks like.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can. Yay.
Yay, because I don't use this very often, but I was getting phone calls, so I'm like, I better switch over. Thank you for taking my questions here. I kind of been doing some cleanses from different people because I never had my labs done yet.
Oh, so before you do that, where are you in the process of the program? What are you working on?
I'm on module 2.
Module 2, okay. Seems like almost everybody is working on that good old digestion.
I was doing better, and then my son had surgery, and, you know, I just had to stop, whatever. But, you know, I definitely wanted to get through that one. But the thing I've noticed, I've done 2 different cleanses I'd never done before, but the main thing is they included, like, clay and minerals and zeolite, you know. So I've been doing that. I haven't did that for almost 2 months, it seems like. Seems like I did that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing I have noticed, because I haven't been tested again, is my nails are growing. And I think that's a huge sign that something is working.
Mineral absorption, for sure. Protein absorption, both of those. Yes.
Yeah, because I never had my nails grow. I can't even remember. Maybe when I was 5 or 6, I never have had nails. And that is like something really that means something is probably working, and I'm really happy about that. And pretty trying to be consistent with like probiotics and mm-hmm. some cultured foods, the juices, smoothies. The only thing, like last week I was, you know, my son had this major surgery and it was out of town. So it definitely was very, very, very stressful trying to, you know, I said, where are the days when people used to be in the hospital after surgery?
Because they throw them out within a few hours now.
Well, not, you know, and everything was an hour away. So anyways, the thing I noticed is, you know, I lost weight again. It just seems like I'm not.
Is this desirable for you or not desirable?
Well, I've just never been this low. I mean, I think I used to have more stress and the stress kept me higher. Like I used to be, not that I'm complaining, you know, it's just, I don't know what that means. And
that's why I asked you. 'Cause I want to know whether, you know, like, where are you? Like, what's your height and weight?
My height is 5'3". I used to be more like 125 to 128. And slowly I've gone down to like, after last week, which was, like I said, really stressful, to like 113. And I've never been that low.
It's a perfectly healthy weight for that height, though, unless you're huge boned.
Okay. Well, I'm small boned too.
Oh, if you're small boned, that's a great weight. That's probably ideal for that height.
Maybe I'm just not, because like even when I was away, I had a juicer. I still made juices. I went and got smoothies. I still did all that. And I brought like chia seeds with me and hemp seeds, all kinds of superfoods that I could have while I was traveling. And I just didn't know, because I've never been this low. And sometimes people are like, what's wrong with you? You've lost weight, you know? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm eating all these good foods and, you know, I don't know what's happening. So
how do you feel though? How does it feel? Do you feel good in your body with this? Do you feel weak? Do you feel like your cheeks are all hollered out? And
the only thing in the morning, and I have struggled with this pretty much since I was a teenager, is I just have a hard time getting up. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, it's gotten a little better. Like at 7, I kind of wake up now and I don't feel as drowsy like as I did even a couple months ago. So maybe
it's moving in the right direction, I would say. I would say don't, like, that's the least of your, just do what you're doing with the goal of nourishing and taking care of your body and your mental and emotional attitude. And just don't worry about the weight. You know, if you're looking and going, like, somebody's gaining weight and they shouldn't be, we want to look at what's going on hormonally, or are you taking in more calories? For people who are losing too much weight, there are people who eat like birds. That's just the way they are. You sit there and you watch them eat and you're like, no. And they're wondering why they're so skinny. And like, are you going to eat more than that? All right, because I can't relate to that. Yeah. So it's just a matter of how do you feel and how do you look to yourself? And people will, you know, when somebody goes from being 150 pounds down to 120, even if that's a good weight for them, there are people who are going to notice. And part of it could be they're jealous because they wanted to lose the weight. But part of it is just they're not used to seeing that person, you know, and seeing their high cheekbones and seeing their bony structure. So as long as it's not too, like if you said to me you were 5'7" and you were weighing 113, I'd be concerned with that you're going too far. But I wouldn't be concerned enough to tell you to stop. I would just say, let's talk about how we can use the healthy framework and give you some, like, eat an extra avocado every day.
Yeah. Okay. Cause I don't eat a lot though, because when I have like a fresh vegetable juice, I mean, I drink 16 ounces and I mean that just turns your hunger off. I mean, and then I'll have, when I do a smoothie again, I'll drink, you know, quite a bit. And then I'm just not like eating a ton of food, but I do eat 3 or 4 times a day. So
yeah. And I mean, it's nutrient dense food, right?
Yeah.
So that's good. I don't see any red flags here.
Yeah, so I honestly would rather eat a smoothie because I just feel better, you know, it's easier to digest. And I just, you know, I don't feel like I have to eat a humongous salad. I mean, that's fine. I probably need to rotate maybe more of my greens and
rotating vegetables. Is good. Rotating.
That probably be one thing, but
especially if you do a lot of spinach and chard because they're high in oxalates and we don't want to overdo on that.
Okay. Yeah.
Definitely rotating. And here's the thing. If you start to slip down and you're going, I'm getting a little too skinny here, just put some avocado in your smoothie.
Oh, yeah. 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 I've been doing that. I used to do protein powder, but then when I heard there's so many heavy metals in them, I just wasn't sure whether to do those anymore, especially when I was cleansing, at least, you know, I thought maybe to take a break because I didn't mind using some protein powders, but I don't know which ones.
Yeah, and it's hard to know. And, you know, there's companies that are independently testing them and other companies are just testing it themselves. And there's some that are like Satya Inchi is probably less likely to have. Rice is more likely to have. And it depends on where it's grown and what was in the soils, what was in the waters.
Oh, okay. Okay. So those all make a difference. Okay. Yeah, I definitely been doing a whole avocado every day because that just fills me up. Too. So I always have that pretty consistent. And then plus if, like, again, I'm traveling for a couple of days, I can throw those in a suitcase And, you know, as long as, you know, they don't, if I carry a suitcase with me, they're not going to get beat up or anything, hopefully. So, and you can just open them up and eat them just with a spoon. And
my favorite.
Just carry my own food with me and I can quickly get something. And then if there's extra around, you know, of course in Florida, there's like juice bars and smoothie places everywhere. So that was a good place to be.
That's absolutely great. And there's other places like that. And then you can go to Iowa and then you won't find anything, right?
No. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's just, I kind of wanted to check in about that.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're on the right track. It sounds like congratulations on being dedicated and traveling with your food and being and sticking with it. It sounds like you're on the right track.
I just buy travel, like travel moringa packets. I buy, I bring like matcha packets from Trader Joe's and I bring coconut creamer and a pack. I buy all these packets.
Packets are great for travel.
Throw it in there. It's not going to, you know, fall all out and dump all over my bag or something like that. Yeah. And then I don't have to resort to what's there. I just have it with me and eat. And those are all good.
Yep. Artisana has some of those in the nut butters. They have like walnut butter and coconut butter and almond butter. And you can just buy the little packets and it's a single serving and you're stuck.
Okay.
You can put it.
Which company?
Artisana, Artisana.
Oh, okay.
I mean, pricey if you're going to eat them when you're home. You might as well just open the jar. But for travel, it's really hard to travel with nut butter.
Right? Oh, yeah. That's why I try to look at things that, you know, I bring my own stevia, all that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of set to go in case I'm in a pinch, you know.
And the green powders are great to carry. Like some of them, like I know Mighty Maca, we've gotten samples. I don't know if they sell them in the little individuals, but they're really nice. And the Sun Warrior, some of the other protein powders, they have the little individual servings. And some of them you can use foods and try them out, right?
Oh, okay, yeah. I can get it. Which brand of protein?
Well, protein, Sun Warrior has them all in the little packet. Oh. But I don't know that we get them because they sponsor us for our annual event. We have a Shine event that happens it's happening in September this year, but they sponsor. So they give us a lot of samples. So I always have leftovers of my samples.
Okay. Well, Trader Joe's, I mean, Whole Foods does have a lot of those trial sizes.
And that way you can try something without having to spend $50 on a whole big tub of it only to find out you don't like it.
If I don't like it, I won't. I mean, I've had to give protein powders away. I'm like, I cannot drink it if it has a bad taste.
Yeah.
So I know the ones I like. And maybe even I call the company, the one I do like.
Call them up and say, do you have any sample size? Can I buy some sample sizes from you?
I really like a lot.
Because you're right. Like you could put them in Ziplocs, but I have had Ziplocs open in spill all over my clothes, so I don't like that too much.
Go through the TSA sometimes, and now I do put all the food in a bag and just put it in the bin because they want to see food at this point, but they don't take it away from me, but they want to see it.
They took my vitamin C from me. They said it was too good container. They almost took my vitamin C. I didn't take it out of the jar. If I figured white powder in a Ziploc, that's a little suspicious, right? So I'll just keep the vitamin C in the vitamin C original container. And they're like, what is this? This is too big. I'm like, it's not liquid. And I said, it's vitamin C. So that, you know, it just cost me an extra 10 minutes going through the line to have it checked. So, but it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. I wouldn't change it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, those are some good ideas. I didn't think about the protein or the nut butter packet. Yeah. That way, you know, because I don't honestly like eating like salads at a restaurant if it's not organic, because again, I don't know if they wash them good and what's on it.
But here's the way I look at it, right? If you're traveling, you're a traveling salesperson and you're traveling all the time and you're always eating in restaurants, then that's not good, right? Then you want to make sure that you have a refrigerator in your hotel room and get some organic salad mix and, you know, get a little paper plates or whatever and do that. But if it's an occasional that you're doing that, it's like, unless you are one of the, you know, the true canaries in the coal mine, where even just eating one organic salad, you feel bad, you know, so trust your body, but know that if it's one time, it's not going to hurt.
Oh yeah. I don't travel. I mean, I go to Florida every 2 months, maybe. So it's not like every day that I'm going out. So yeah. Okay. Well, that's good.
Great.
Good.
Thank you.
Ooh, and I'm the one that had that rash on my back, and it's definitely better than it was a couple months ago too. It's just a few tiny spots left, and actually somebody recommended a MSM cream that from Rich is distributing, that it's definitely helping too. I think it's been more the internal stuff that's helped. There's just a little bit left. So I want to go away.
Glad to hear that, because that's the worst.
Everything's in the right direction, and awesome. Okay, well, thank you.
Bye. All right, who haven't I heard from? It's, I see Beverly with her hand up. Let me unmute Beverly. Oh, there, Francis's iPad is there. Beverly, you are...
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, I can.
Oh, okay, hi, great. Thank you so much. Sorry, my camera's not working, but I wanted to ask you about an experiment I ran for a couple of weeks tracking my glucose. Okay. So one thing I noticed is that my blood sugar would go up overnight. So when I measured it, when I first woke up in the morning, it would be higher than, you know, after dinner, 2 hours the night before. Is that normal?
No.
No?
It's common, but it's not normal.
Okay.
It can indicate that there's some stressor going on in your body overnight that's causing you to have to that you may be mobilizing cortisol and breaking down stored sugar. So if it's higher in, you know, at any point in time, whether it's overnight or during the day, if it goes higher without eating anything and without any, you know, major stress thing, you got to be looking at why. You got to be looking at why. So it's probably, it's mobilizing it from your liver, most likely, or your muscle cells. So I would look at a couple of things come to mind when I hear that, is that if people have some old traumas from childhood, and that's oftentimes violence, a rape, a murder, you know, not of them, obviously. Dad that used to come home drunk in the middle of the night and yell and scream, and there were fights, or any kind of things in the psyche that the body's used to, it's not safe at night. It's going to produce stress hormones during the night, and that will raise your blood sugar. So that's one possibility. But the other one is if there's a parasitic infection going on in the gut, then those parasites lay their eggs at night. They get active at night, and that can cause a stress on the system as well. And the third one, that the most common one, is bruxism, like grinding of your teeth, and that can cause the blood sugar to go up at night as well. On the fourth one, if you have EMFs in the environment, so if you don't turn off the Wi-Fi and you in the room, and you don't turn off the cell phone and put it on to the airplane mode, or you have an alarm clock too close to your head, all those kinds of things can create an EMF stress, and that can cause the blood sugar to go up.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I do wear a night guard for teeth grinding. Would it still not be could that be it and still not be effective?
It could. Well, so just then we go back. We're always looking back to root cause. Like, why does your body do this teeth grinding, right, in the middle of the night? Is that a stress, right? Is that something that your body's wrong? Because that's typically what you would do if you're clenching your jaw in the middle of the night. It's your body's response to some sort of stressor, a mental or emotional stressor in that regard.
Okay, cool. I'll have to really look into that. Yeah. And then...
is good to do, and anything that's going to really calm you down before the lavenders, and there's a lot of that stuff in the module 3 blood sugar, that in the sleep section.
Okay, I'll go back to that. Yeah. But just in general then, I ideally would like to stay below 110, but best below 100. Is that the general kind of...
Let's just say 110, because you guys 110. Have to be like these perfectionist A++ students, right? Okay, if A is good, I'm going to get an A++.
Okay.
Put stress on the system. So 110 is great. If it goes below 100, even better, right?
So if I eat something like quinoa and berries and I go up to 115 or 120, should I avoid that?
Well, you could either avoid it, or you can reduce the quantity and increase the quantity of greens that you take with it and see if it still does that. So say you had a cup of blueberries and a cup of quinoa and it went up to 115. Chances are good that if you had a half a cup of each and then added a couple of cups of greens on the side, that it probably wouldn't.
Okay, I'll try that. And then I noticed a really high spike with a bowl of like a lentil dal stew that I had, like 167. That's really bad.
Yeah, that's really high. Yeah, so I would ask, is it the lentils and what else was in there? Sometimes cooked carrots can do it too. So it might've been the combination. So yeah, I would say as you prepare to get through a 30-day metabolic reset, that goes on the wait till later list.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. I just ran that kind of experiment and had a few questions, but I thought it was very interesting. So
how much is it higher in the morning than at night? Is it 10 points, 30 points?
Maybe up to 10.
Up to 10. Okay. So that's not terrible. And what is the difference? Like, is it 75 at night and 85 in the morning, or is it, what are the numbers?
Probably low 90s up to, usually it was the lower hundreds.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something there then.
Okay.
Yeah. I would want to see you down in the 80s in the morning.
Yeah. Okay.
So I would evaluate what kind of stress is going on in your body in the middle of the night.
Okay.
Okay.
Something to work for. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, that was Beverly. Who else do we have? Put her hand
in. Vanessa's hand is up.
Hi, Vanessa. Where are you? You're outside too, hey?
Hi.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi. So I guess I could call it a little experiment that didn't work so well. So I've been with the focus on my health over the last 6 months or so. My energy's come back, and I made some decisions in the beginning of June that I thought I could handle energetically, and like hiring a couple coaches, a couple salespeople. I also brought on a huge client. And all in all, this has been like such a stressful month. It's been similar to the stress levels I had that led me to adrenal fatigue. And so now I'm at about a month in, 5 weeks into this, and I'm like, okay, meanwhile, the metabolic reset was occurring and I wasn't able to participate. I mean, I was working, till 10 at night, and my health took a back burner for sure. And I'm at this point where I'm just like, okay, I've got to get out of this pattern. And I've put weight back on that I lost with keto and intermittent fasting. And it was like, when I'm in stress, I can't stay in a healthy place with keto and intermittent fasting. It's almost like I lack that normal control or mindfulness towards, anything self-nurturing. And so I'm at this point, and I'm considering, because my health is something that's so important to me, like while, my actions may not be congruent with that statement, I'd like them to be. And I feel like we just did a big questionnaire for disability insurance, like getting all our life insurance and disability insurance, updated and such. And I did a big disability insurance questionnaire, because if my health goes out, then I don't have my, our income, our lifestyle, we wouldn't be able to sustain. And so it was eye-opening to see, like, oh my gosh, like I have really, like there was some history there, and there were things that I directly have had control over. And I'm like, Vanessa, like, just like you look at your financials for your business, these are the numbers, these are the metrics with your health. And you're not putting this at the forefront of priority. And so there's really, oops, he's still there, call came in. So there's this, I wonder if you have, like, maybe if it's a mindset thing for me where I need to make it a priority, or if I just need to come to terms with accepting, because I think maybe my stress resilience isn't as high as, you know, maybe some CEOs can run their businesses and they can handle immense amount of stress. I think I have a tolerance level that's been compromised because of adrenal fatigue in the past, that do I just need to make adjustments in my life of saying, okay, go simpler. Like all of this complexity of team and all that, I just started to feel again, like this anxiety levels rising of like, okay, maybe I just need to stay small and sweet. And we just take, you know, focus on profitability and I pay myself a comfortable salary and that's enough. And instead of these ambitions of growth, as soon as my energy, you know, picks back up. So I'm celebrating that I'm on this call. Otherwise I could go into hiding and feel, you know, embarrassed about that I've kind of backslid, but I genuinely want to get out of this cycle. Mm-hmm. And so any words of wisdom or help to not keep, I think it's like, it's a pattern I've got to break.
Yeah. So here's what I'm hearing. And what I'm hearing is that you have noticed that you have this pattern of when things get basically biting off more than you really reasonably can chew, being an overachiever. Oh yeah, I can do this and I can do this and I can do this. And then realizing the toll it takes on your body and then having these health issues that come up as a result. Is that pretty much sum it?
Yeah. It's like, as soon as I get any energy, I go bigger than I can sustain.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's that tendency. Were you like this as a kid? Were you like, oh yeah, I'm going to do the best and I'm going to do the biggest.
Oh yeah. 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 It's just like chronic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a pattern and it's a great one. Right. And what we need to learn, those of us who are in that overachiever mode, is limits. Right. So you go from having, you know, a nice normal day of like, you know, 6 to 8 hours of work to I'm going to take on a big client and I'm going to worry about team. And now I have to worry about paying the team. So I have to work harder. And now you're working until 10 o'clock at night. And of course, you don't have time to do all the self-care things because there isn't that time. And when you say that other executives can do it, some of them that do it are doing it at the expense of their health. And then they're getting addicted to caffeine and they're drinking caffeine all day, or they're doing alcohol, or they're doing, you know, illegal drugs or legal drugs, right? And they're using coping mechanisms that your body has said no thank you to. Your body has said, no, I really want to be truly healthy. I don't want to be artificially revved up. But I think what you've got going on here might be a little bit of a fight between the players, the inside players, right? The overachiever and the self-care, the, you know, the more laid back Vanessa who just wants to really nourish herself and take care of herself and her family. But this other thing there. So, you know, there is a mindset thing, right? And I definitely think there's a mindset, and I think, but it's a pattern that's been established in you. And maybe you have less resiliency than, you know, we all have a different level of resiliency, and it's not comparing. It's just some people have the resiliency and some people don't. And what I'm thinking is to come to terms with, first of all, from a metric standpoint, from your business, what is that minimum viable income that you need to sustain your level of life, that you don't have to move to a new house, you don't have to, you know, give up two of the kids, you don't have to do any of that stuff, right? You just get to sustain. And then what's, you know, a comfortable cushy? Because sometimes when we're going for like bringing the team on and all this other stuff, in the end of the day, you didn't make a dime more than you did when you had that simpler business.
I know, like I could simplify, because I do sales for clients, not just my coaching business. So my two sales clients, me doing sales for them is, you know, a very healthy income with no team, no marketing, no service delivery. And like, but it's scary to me to let go of my team and everything else. But like, that would be the simplest life. Like, and it would, I would have margin, which margin is where I get inspiration. Margin is, it, but it's partially like, that is the simplest model. And there's like, it's 100% profit. Pretty
there
much.
You go. Right. So you already know how to do it. Right. But like I said, there's this fight going on inside. So I would maybe sit down and have a conversation with your overachiever part. And like, what is it you're trying to achieve? And what is that satisfaction? And you might end up coming up with like, I'd much rather have these two easy clients and have all that and not have to deal with anybody else and not have to be feeling like, oh my God, I have to make enough money to pay for their families to survive now, not just my family to survive because they're counting on me, you know?
And yeah, I know I don't want to let go of my team. I don't want to let go of them because they help me do the techie stuff that I don't really love doing.
Well,
but it's expensive to keep them.
you can hire them back on a project basis, right? If you don't need the tech.
Yeah.
But if you don't need the tech, if you're just going to do sales for two clients. Now, another idea to think about is there a collaborator that you can bring in that would do that and run that so that you don't have to deal with it. And you could just deal with these two clients and they can manage the team and do the rest of it.
Yeah.
But I think that you, what's happening for you is you're coming to grips with that is not good for my body. Mm-mm. And it creates bad habits because we all fall into the same bad habits when you're put in under stress. You're not going to exercise as much. You're going to grab food. You're going to eat in between meals, which you weren't doing. Maybe you're reaching for more caffeine. You know, there's all these things that are cumulative and you don't want to go back to that on the couch adrenal fatigue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the worst that could happen is if you decide to do this and just set yourself like for the next 6 months, I'm just going to keep on those top clients and find homes for some of those other folks. If you like them and you think they're good, post it on some of the groups that you're in, post it on a Facebook group for, you know, the Leap, it comes to mind, but other things like that, right? Mm-hmm. I have these awesome tech person. They've been really good. Then you know where they are. You can always like ask to have them back or borrow them back for project oriented stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
How does this feel when you start to think about it?
Well, that's what it's interesting that you asked the question, you know, what's the worst? Cause I was sitting here before I jumped on the call and I was like, I think I need to play out like going down that path as reality. So then my brain can like, instead of me thinking about it 25% deep and then being in 100% anxiety, that I can think about it 100% deep, play it out and realize, okay, it's really not that scary. Like nobody's
gonna
die.
Gonna be named.
And I can re-pick it up in the future if I want or create something brand new.
Exactly.
I've never had an issue recruiting amazing people. But in the meantime, this a simpler life, a simpler and ability to prioritize my health the way that it deserves. Otherwise, I'll be forced to
exactly.
Like I have in the past.
Exactly. Then your freedom is gone.
No,
you don't have a choice, right? And why not make a choice when you can and give yourself like, I'm going to try this for a year. You know, you have the skills to create it all over again. In the meantime, you have a nice, healthy living. You're doing what you love to do and gets more time with your kids and your husband. And, you know, I'd see, and maybe, you know, that part of you is going to be itching for something, but it could be itching for something after you've rebuilt. And then you can consciously choose, okay, I'm not going back there. Let me find someplace that's somewhere along the way that I can still, I love this feeling of being in control and loving my body and feeling good in my skin. And then you can go there. So I think you're on the right track there with write it all out, play it all out. What's the absolute worst that can happen? And then if that happens, what happens? And then if that happens, what happens? I guarantee you're not going to have any dead kids at the end of that. You know what I'm saying? Like dogs are laying on the floor and nobody's getting neglected. Nobody's going to be in the hospital as a result of you making this choice. And it sounds like your finances will be in better shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's just, I think part of you, I'm just going to throw this out there and you can grapple with it. Is there an ego piece, right? Vanessa, the woman who can do everything, right? That part of you going, but I am a superhero and I can be a Shiro. And, you know, as opposed to, wow, I could just have a really fun, cushy life and enjoy my life and enjoy my kids. Your kids are still fairly young, right?
Well, I have a couple in high school, so I don't have a lot of years left with them.
Yeah, I don't have that. That's right. Enjoy those high school years with them. Mm-hmm. Be there for them because they need you. Be mm-hmm. there to be their guide into where they go in the world. And they'll be off to college soon and then you can do whatever you want. But don't sacrifice your time with them right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their health is worth it and they're worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Glad to hear it and good to see you.
Thank you.
You can. Bye. All right. Who else? Somebody else said earlier you had a question you were going to save for later. And then we got off into, I thought it was Elizabeth. Let's come back. I don't see any other hands up. Oh, I see Wendy's hands up. Let me get Wendy's hand up. Well, let me get back. Are you okay with that? Because I know it's like suddenly everybody's doing all the depth stuff.
I know Beverly had said on the chat that she had some questions as well.
All right. So let me just have a check in from Beverly. Oh, we talked to Beverly. All right. Give me a check in, Wendy, where you're at. And then we'll go back and kind of go deeper with the people we didn't get to go deeper with. Who else is on? There's a lot of people on here that are just not showing. So Wendy has her hand up. So I'm just going to go with people that are not on face-to-face. If you don't put your hand up, I'm assuming that you don't really have anything to share. Okay, Wendy, go for it.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. I just wanted to say I just completed the 30-day metabolic reset.
Yay.
And just really miraculous changes because before I started this program, I was testing my sugar levels. I was morning fasting 101, 103, sometimes 105. And then after I eat, I would go up to 170, 180. So I completely eliminated all those foods. And, honestly, I always ate very well, but these are just foods like fruits, even blueberries were shooting me up and, potatoes and rice. So I just eliminated all of that, of course. So I've been on this metabolic reset. I've lost 21 pounds since May 15th. And so, of course, I'm feeling so energetic. I'm feeling very grateful. And at the same time, I want to continue the weight loss because I have about 30 more pounds to lose. I have about 50 pounds overall to lose. I was
beautiful.
About 202, and I want to go down to 150, 152. I'm 5'8". Oh. And so that's kind of I want to continue with it. And so should I just continue this eating? I've been doing my smoothies and my greens and not worry about introducing these.
Here's the thing. If you look at what I say, the criteria for reintroducing at the end of the metabolic reset is, are you where you want to be weight wise? Are you where you want to be energy wise? And then where are your sugars right now? What are your sugars now?
My fasting sugars are anywhere between morning is 75 to 83.
Beautiful.
And when I eat, it doesn't go higher than 105. Really, they're really very normal now for the very first time in many years.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
This is awesome. Wow. I love hearing this. So here, there's a possibility of you can just continue what you've been doing, or you can say, you know what? I'm really kind of missing blueberries. Let me try adding an eighth of a cup of blueberries to my salad or my chia porridge or whatever you're eating, right? And see if that makes a difference. But watch it carefully because it may not once, but then if you start to do that and you see that, a week later, my weight's plateaued. I'm not losing anymore. Or if I gained a little bit, then you go backwards. But like little things like that, like don't go to the rice and potatoes. I would stay off those. Those would be last. But I would say some of these fruits have such amazing antioxidant profiles, right? Let's start to get some of that in. But if it's not the right time, then go back. For me, after my metabolic reset, I was like you, dear. good pineapple and mango and melons and whatever. And my sugars were up in the 160s. So I gave them all up. And now I really just eat blueberries and strawberries. And if I'm out, I'll try some other stuff. If I'm in Hawaii, I do indulge, but I know how to indulge, right? So you may have some, you may, but you may not because of how quickly you responded. You may have some genetic tendencies that lead you to have to be careful always, but you may not, right? So see what you can do and see if you've been steadily dropping weight, like, what'd you say, 25 pounds since 30 pounds? 21 pounds.
21 pounds.
Yeah, yeah, 21 pounds in since middle of May, and that's like 6 weeks. That's a really nice, so that's like maybe 2 pounds, maybe a little less than that, but 2 pounds a week on average, right? Two times, right. Oh, about that, because 6 weeks, 12, yeah, it's a little more than 2 pounds a week.
Yeah, right? And I'd like to continue that because, you know, my A1C was 6.1, and my A1C has been 6.1 for about 2 years, and my father died of diabetes, and two of my brothers have diabetes, and so my grandmother had diabetes, so that runs in my family.
I just keep doing it, and if you feel like testing some, if you feel like, oh, those blueberries look good, let me just have a couple, right? And just give your sensory buds a little sensation. But if you're fine continuing it, I'd continue it for a little bit longer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and get you to goal weight.
Okay. Okay. I'll just continue what I'm doing until I get to my goal weight.
Or until you go, I just want some blueberries. And then try a few.
Okay. I don't really crave anything else when I'm eating. Believe it or not, it's very satisfying.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I would keep going. Get to your goal weight, then go in and get your A1C tested again. See where it's at, you know. But okay, you're doing amazing. That's fantastic to go to fasting blood sugar 75 to 83. And the highest is 106 compared to 170. Congratulations. Awesome job.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. You're so welcome. Yeah. Bye. Bye. Okay, Elizabeth, and if anybody else has any questions, put your hands up. And if anybody who's already spoken wants to have their questions answered, just put your hand up and we'll come around. So, Elizabeth.
Okay. Like I say, I did the green cleanse. Now, since I'm under my desired weight, I was, you know, eating avocado. And sometimes I'd have a little bit of nuts in the smoothie in the morning. But mostly for the week, I did like light beginning and end, and then standard in the middle. And you know, mostly just lots of green soups, green smoothies, and green drinks. So but right at the end of the week, you know, I was feeling good, and so I did maybe a little too much exercise, and I wondered if that maybe stimulated even more cleansing, plus it was starting to get hot, and so I was real tired that following week. And then the week after that, which was last week, I noticed I had a swollen lymph node in my groin area that was real tender and hurt. And then over the weekend, kind of had, you know, we were at a memorial service for my cousin up in Vermont. It's sort of, and plus a kind of a family reunion with the side of my family that I lost touch with growing up after my dad died when I was real little. So, but I had reconnected with them over the last 20 years. So that was good. But I think, but then the combination of being a place where I didn't really have control over what foods were being served. And yeah, I brought lots of nuts and seeds with me. But I think with the stress, I tended to eat more. And especially if I saw food, you know, a whole spread and I was like, no, I can't hardly eat anything, you know.
Yeah.
I got myself stressed out a little bit, and then I ate too much, and I was just probably of the excitement I ate throughout the day. But I seemed okay throughout the weekend. And then I flew home Monday evening, and then Tuesday morning, you know, after breakfast, oh my gosh, I just totally cleaned out, which still kind of, you know, I didn't realize I could have that much stuff, you know, poop in me, but, you know, it's kind of, it reminds me of what, a year and a half ago when I had the C. diff and things were going through me, but it was different. And I recognize it's different. It's not that kind of totally undigested. You know, things were fairly well formed, just soft and in large quantities. So I just figured there's just running too fast through me. But then I still ate like salad and then I had steamed vegetables for dinner and then I had some nut butter for breakfast before I cleaned out. So this morning, so I was still kind of uncomfortable in my bowels. And then today, you know, a little bit more cleaning out, kind of feeling like things were going through too fast. So what I decided to do was go back to just drinking green soup today. And so that's what I've been doing in my, everything seems a lot calmer and, you know, working on my meditation and yoga and that. So, you know, I recognize for me about once a month, if I have some stressful situation, then that's what causes my system. So I recognize that a lot of times that's not whatever I'm eating. It's more the emotional stress. So, you know, I recognize I need to, that's something to work on.
Yeah.
And then also I was just wondering if like today, should I just continue to eat vegetables and wait till tomorrow? I made a nut dip and, you know, have the.
Yeah. So to me, what it sounds like is whenever something like that, you had been very strict and very restrictive about what you're eating. And then suddenly you're eating more, eating under pressure or whatever, and having the stress of funeral and a family reunion and travel. I think that we want to let the system calm down, and having had, you know, the C. diff and basically it sounds like irritable bowel from that, you're basically want to calming it. I wouldn't eat salads today either. I would just stick with the cooked soups, the blended, to be everything very soft and easy on your gut, right? And if you're going to do fat, some avocado, because it's much easier to digest than nuts or nut butter.
Okay.
All right, and the nut dips. And the nut dips, here's the deal. If you make too much nut dip and you can't use it all, do you have a dehydrator?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you take the nut dip and you spread it on those Teflex sheets and you dehydrate it, and it makes really nice little crumblies that you can put on your salad. So you don't have to worry about, oh my God, I made all this nut dip and now I can't eat it. Just do it that way. And now you have, and they're delicious actually. I love them.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
It has a really nice texture to it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I think you're needing a calming down. And I think from the standpoint of the emotional stuff, just to remind all of you, you'll get an email about it, but a week from today, we're having a special guest come in to talk about tapping for the emotional eating and for just emotions in general to help keep your blood sugar steady and all that. So I would highly recommend that you watch your email. You'll get an email and an invitation for that and come to that, because I think that's, we fall into our old habits, right? We do some stuff, we're all good. Like Vanessa was just talking about, her old habit is overworking, right? You know, for me, my old habit is undersleeping, right? But when we get stressed and pressured, we fall into those old habits. And so we just need to give the body a break, the body and the mind and the heart and the soul, all a break. And right, nurture yourself. Like, okay, I can just go slowly. I can just ease in. I can just eat small amounts of what feels good. Don't worry about the weight. It'll come back. You'll get it back. And just nurture yourself. You know, set aside some time. Do you have a garden that you want to go out and just stick your hands in the soil? Is there something that you absolutely love that feeds your soul?
Right. Yeah. And I will. We actually, the other thing is we signed a contract on our house on Saturday, you know, electronically. And so the previous week we'd been negotiating and, you know, all these showings and so just going on. And now I know within a month I'm going to be moving out of the house and that. So, you know, a lot going on.
A lot going on. Take some time to just nurture yourself.
Yeah.
A couple of hours of just doing whatever feeds your soul.
And I was talking to my brother, you know, who's married to Susan, that he said it does sort of make sense when you're cleansing, you know, your lymph's probably trying to clear more stuff out. And I guess that could be logical that it could get a little clogged. And he reminded me to get back on my whole body vibration machine that I had in storage during the showing. So I brought that back out.
Okay. Yes, keep the lymph moving. Exactly. That's what I was going to say, too. It's like your gut got aggravated. And you have an old stuff, maybe some bugs that have been latent in there started to ease their way out again, and your body's just responding. So pay attention to it. Don't ignore it. But lymph nodes swell when they're working hard to protect us.
Oh, okay.
Right. And the lymph nodes in the groin are, it's the next level up. So the lymph nodes in the groin are dealing with the gut.
Okay. That would make sense. And then the other question I have is one of my cousins, she's like, I think she's like 66 now. She told me she has Crohn's disease, and I was telling her about, you know, this class I'm doing, and I showed her on my smartphone the website and all these different pieces. And so I told her I would ask, you know, is there something that she could do with this group, or, you know, what would you recommend? Because she's open to whatever, because, you know, she's had the she's going to a regular physician, and they took out part of her intestine that reabsorbs water. And so she tends to have diarrhea real easily at any moment. And so she wanted, but she said they can't tell her what should she eat or not eat. And
yeah, so a couple of things that she could do. So one thing is she could, you know, talk to Lynn about getting some private coaching with us, or getting our Just the Gut piece. But she could join this program. Lynn and I just had this conversation. This, you know, you guys started a certain time and are ending at a certain time, but we just want to keep this going and have it be where people can come in. Maybe, you know, maybe we have two or three times a year. Maybe we just have once a month and new people can join, and we'll just keep doing these implementation calls, and we'll give you guys the opportunity to say, hey, I want to keep doing the implementation calls. So for a nominal fee, you pay to renew your membership for another year or whatever. So we'll have all that kind of stuff available because we recognize the need for support.
Right, yeah.
And the other option is we have a program called the Energy Recharge Inner Circle, which has everything you guys have, plus a whole lot more, but plus also coaching, like with a small group that they get every month, and then coaching calls, extra coaching calls with me, and then at a certain level, they actually get their own private coach where they meet with the coach once or twice a month to go through stuff. And we do lab retreat days, and it's like body balance on steroids. Is the way I would describe it.
Okay.
We'll open that once a year, and we'll make sure that you guys know when we're ready to open it again and give you first dibs if any of you want to upgrade into that. And you'll get a credit towards part of your payment to this if you say, you know what, I just want to be in that inner circle. And we'll make sure that anybody that's already in gets first dibs at those spots. You only take 40 to 50 a year, depending on the number of coaches.
Okay, well, I'll just have her call, you know, contact Lynn first, because I think that way she could, you know, get her advice about what's the best, you know, path for her to take. But she seemed really open and...
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, who else had their hand up? Anybody, Lynn? A lot of you on who have not said anything, I see.
Well, we have some new people that came in. One here that says MYC. I'm not sure what your name is.
So if you want to share, I'm gonna unmute.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's 18 to 25.
MYC. Oh, there you are. I see you right there.
Hi. All right. Two adults. Okay. All right. Okay, good.
You talking on the phone? Oh, she was just getting off the phone. Hi there. What's your name? Mois? MOYC? I heard her. I don't think she realizes she's open.
Yeah, your line is open.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't need it to be open.
No, we wanted you to open. We wanted to know if you had any questions.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not for today. I'm just listening to everybody else.
Thank you. Okay. And how do you say Thank your you. Name?
I'm sorry?
How do you say your name?
Oh, my name is actually Yvonne.
Oh, Yvonne. Okay. Yes. It says
Moise. Moise was my sign-in name. Yes.
Okay, got it. Hi, Yvonne.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, let us know if you have any questions. We'll just raise
your hand. No, not today, but thank you, Dr. Marie.
I see Peter. I see others. Who else? Is there anybody else who did?
There was somebody on here, Anne. Oh, David has his hand raised.
I don't see it. Oh, there, David. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So, anybody that, for now, anybody that has a question, a comment, wants to share a success, wants to tell me where you're at, or just has questions about where you're at, just chime in. Raise your hand. If you're on the screen, you could just go like this. And there's also a button next to your name that you can just hit. So David, there's David. Oops, there he is, good. Hi, David.
Hi, along with my low thyroid,
something that's happened lately is that I have to dress more warmly than people around me. And I'm guessing that's just the low metabolism because of low thyroid.
That's a very common symptom of thyroid, low thyroid.
Well, I'm wearing like 1 to 2 layers more than other people. And if I'm not active, my temperature goes down precipitously.
Have you done like your first morning temperature, your basal body temperature to see where it's at? Or in the thyroid module, we have a chart for tracking your body temperature.
Okay, and I'll do that.
First thing in the morning, and then there's also the spot for 3 times during the day, but like maybe 3 hours after the first thing. And then it gives you the specific instructions just to map it and see across time. Some people with severely impaired thyroid, especially with the TSH like that, you shouldn't be. You see, here's the thing. You shouldn't be because you're on enough hormone to suppress your TSH. So I have a suspicion that you have some receptor resistance going on as well.
I only thought of that as being possible when about a month ago it was mentioned on one of these calls, something called hormone resistance, mm-hmm. not just insulin resistance, but thyroid's a hormone. So I actually brought this up with Lynn and she said, yeah, thyroid resistance could be a thing.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely is a thing. It's a known thing. You know, and here's the thing of any hormone resistance that develops, it's like you get the symptoms of low function, but you get the dangers of high levels because the body keeps trying to produce more or you're taking more and there's high levels. So you get the side effects of high levels, but you don't get the benefit of it because it can't get into the cell. So in the thyroid, there's a whole section on thyroid resistance. Also tonight, in just a few hours, at very few hours, I gotta get ready, 7:00, I'm going to be doing, it's geared towards health practitioners, but anybody can come. You're very astute, you know, in being your own health practitioner. It's not going to go over your head at all. But it's about the connection with insulin and thyroid and resistance. And I'm going to be.
Did an email go out on that today?
It went out yesterday for the first time and probably again today at about 4:00.
I think I got that. So I have a link to watch that.
Yeah, come watch it. And because you might get some more information, but lots of great information in the thyroid module. That's module 5, I think.
Thank you. Yeah, I look forward to that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I think I'm like everybody else stuck on module 2.
That's okay. You can jump. Here's what I would recommend for those of you who have some thyroid issues but are stuck in module 2, because you have to make it through, because when you see my step-by-step, it's like a 30-page document that how do you fix your thyroid, get your gut in balance, you know, reduce your stress, get your blood sugar balance, get your drink, because they all impact the thyroid. But sometimes I have people jump ahead, download that document. It's in part 5, the last part of module 5. And it's just one video. Yeah, some of it might be, well, what did she mean by that? Because you didn't watch the other 4. But the video is very self-explanatory and we've given it away as a bonus to people. So we know that it can stand alone, but the book is phenomenal. And it's just a step-by-step and it goes through each of the patterns of thyroid imbalance. And you have the one we know about, which is the conversion. And the second one, which I'm suspecting, which is the resistance. And then it gives the, like, here's the kinds of things you have to consider for each of these types of thyroid imbalance. The typical Western MD looks at it as there's 3 types of thyroid problems: hypo, hyper, or cancer, right? In one case, we cut it out, we radiate it, and you're good to go, not. And the other one is hyper. They usually ablate the thyroid again to make it stop. And then there's hypo, where we load you up with the hormones themselves. So there's way more than that.
Okay. So
in that module, we teach you about them. There's about 22 that have been identified. I break it down to like 7 main categories. So that's a lot more than the 3, so that we can really look at and look at the connection. That's why I asked you to do the Dutch test, because testosterone and estrogen play a huge role in the thyroid and the binding globulin.
So I do have pretty comprehensive test results going back years. So I'll be able to kind of see what track I've been on. So
good.
I don't know if it's relevant. I was originally put on Synthroid by an traditional endocrinologist, and when that quit working, I went to a clinic that specialized in people like me at the time, and they put me on compounded time-release T3, and then we upped the dose, and then went with my functional doctor and switched it over to Armour mostly, but I switched it slower than she wanted me to. I took like 6 months to switch 3/4 of it.
Wow.
I think that
prompted this, right? What is that stressor in your body that told your thyroid not working properly?
I think I mentioned this on the call a long time ago that I was on antibiotics from my mid-teens right into my 40s. At least 5 or 6 times a year. In the teens, it was tetracycline for acne. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that damaged my gut, which caused leaky gut, which caused my overactive immune, which then damaged things.
Have you been tested for antibodies? Do you have elevations in TPO?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But that was tested like 7 years ago. I don't know if that's something we would retest.
So most of the time it's very accurate to test that. But there are some autoimmune thyroid conditions or situations, let's just say, where the antibodies don't actually go up, but we develop nodules on the thyroid or other things like that.
So I originally was palpated as enlarged thyroid and then had an ultrasound, which didn't show any nodules. The ultrasound was repeated, I think, 5 years later, and there was essentially no change.
Okay. Yeah. So it may not be quite autoimmune. It may not even have the antibodies yet, but still that gut really impacts big time.
The reason why I probably can't reduce my dosage might be that resistance thing. It's just really consistent with the evidence right now. So I'll jump into the module 5.
Jump in
and take a look at that.
Module 2, though, because that's critical, and blood sugar is like all of it's critical.
I followed along in Sweet Spot, but I didn't actually measure my blood sugar. I did get the fasting insulin and hemoglobin A1C, and those were very, very reasonable. So I don't suspect I have a blood sugar issue.
Yes.
I thought I did because I get tired every afternoon around 2, and it's not really tied to when I eat.
Yeah.
And I end up taking a nap for 1 hour to 2 hours.
It could be a gut. There could be anything, but you don't look the part of somebody with insulin resistance, but some skin have insulin resistance, right?
Well,
you always say.
When I first got on thyroid medicine, I lost like 40 pounds in 6 months. Went down from 175 to 135 at a pound a week. So I'd had a thyroid problem probably for 20 years, just very mild. In a sense, I think you were lucky that yours was acute and you had to deal with it right away. I just got less and less brain capable and lost my job at a research institution and lost additional jobs. Things are looking up now.
You're going in the right direction. And I think the gut piece is an important piece to look at. And I think those hormones are going to give us some good information.
Excellent. I look forward to it. And I'll check in on the next call.
Super. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who else? Anybody else? Are we done? Wow, we're almost at the 2-hour point.
Well, I looked through the list. There's Anne.
Right, I'm just going to let anybody who wants to raise their hand. I mean, I can open her and see if she wants to talk in case she's having trouble. We had Beverly. Anybody else? Anne, do you want to speak? Anne? I don't want to interrupt people if they're at work.
I'm sorry. I wasn't really expecting to speak, but
you don't have to if you don't want to. It's all optional.
I have a few issues, but can you see me?
Hi.
I feel a bit embarrassed because I haven't really been very good about keeping up with the program. I just find I've got so much on my plate. It's really hard to find time to devote to it. It requires a lot of time. When I do get involved, I can see there's so much value to it, but I'm hoping that I will over time be able to.
It's there for you and we're here for you. So So do it at your own pace.
Yes, but there is just one thing. I don't think I've got a blood sugar issue because I measured. We've got different measurements in Australia. It's
you have to internationally.
Yeah, it's a different measurement. It's like millimoles per liter.
Yep. There's a chart that converts it in the blood sugar module. We have a chart that converts it. And you can also go online and look for it, and it'll show you, like, if it's 5.2, what that means is, 97 or whatever. And then my language, when I speak and she's going 97, my meter doesn't tell me 97.
So what is, do you know with the millimoles per liter, would you know offhand?
It's
what
1.8 is the conversion factor. So if you have a number that's in millimoles, like say it's 5, you just multiply that by 1.8, and that gives you the conversion for our units, so that you'll understand. And if if I say it's 110, and you're going, what does that mean in mine? You just divide 110 by 1.8, and then you'll know, and you can make the conversion. And then there's parts, of course. Yeah.
So the desirable amount is, or level is what? 110.
110 would be the highest after a meal.
Okay. I know this is probably all in the units, but I haven't been very good about reading it. Another thing is, I suffer from high blood pressure, and I've tried to, do everything that I'm told to do as far as lifestyle changes and, exercise, and I'm not overweight, and I do seem to suffer from stress, even when it's not particularly stressful. I seem to get very anxious, and seems to get worse as I get older. So I don't know if that's connected to it. And so eventually I went on to medication, and I've been taking that. But even with that, it's not very high, because I hate the thought of even taking it. I don't want to. But even though I'm taking it, it is still, at the moment, it's very high. I took it last night. I've got my own little machine. Yeah. And it's still high. And I don't...
Like how high is high?
Last night was 160 over 90 something.
And that's on medication that you're taking?
Yes. So that was not very good. Before I started, I had terrible high blood pressure, like 220 over 109. Oof. So that's why I thought I'll just have to do something about it. I'm obviously not able to change it with lifestyle choices at the moment.
Right. You have to worry about getting your numbers in the right place. So the, a couple of things. So, and I said 1.8, I meant 18. So it's basically times it by 18 or divide by 18, because you'll get a wacky number if you do 1.8. I think I said 1.8, didn't I?
Oh, yes.
And okay. I just did it on my calculator. I'm going, no, it's 18.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 18. All right. So in terms of that, there's a lot of things that can cause high blood pressure. We don't have time right now in this to go through all of them, but I can give you a few things to look at. Your magnesium levels. Magnesium deficiency can contribute to hypertension.
Yeah, well, I take that every night.
You do. Okay. And of course, the stress. So what do you do to manage you say you don't feel stressed, but then there are people who have that. That's just your tendency. And sometimes it's genetic that you have that tendency to be more what I call hypervigilant, right? You just have that tendency to react that way.
I know my mother gets very anxious about things. So I think I may have, taken on some of that.
Yeah. And are you at the weight you want to be at? Are you over, under?
No, I'm pretty good. I'm 5'7", and I'm about 130 pounds. Is that okay? Right?
So you're about right in your weight. So it's not like excess weight can do it. But I really would look at the insulin resistance piece, because it's a very high contributing factor to the blood pressure. So I would get the meter and test and see if your numbers are out. You could go to the doctor and have them do an insulin test and a hemoglobin A1C.
A what? What is that?
Hemoglobin A1C.
A1C.
And they may say to you, hey, you're not diabetic. Why would I do that on you? And your answer is, because I have hypertension and I don't want to become diabetic, and I want to see if my blood sugar is contributing to my blood pressure.
Great. I'm glad you told me that, because I hardly ever go to a doctor, but I am going today. So I'm going to, I'll do exactly
have them
that.
Do those two tests. Special.
And what about thyroid? Not thyroid. Well, yeah, thyroid I wonder about, but adrenal.
That's the other thing. It tends to be people with kind of sluggish, burned out adrenals will tend to have very low blood pressure. And when you're in that hyperadrenal state, then you tend to have high, like your body might produce a lot of cortisol.
Yeah.
So that's a test you can do, the whole module on the adrenals we talk about, but there's a test called the Dutch test, D-U-T-C-H. Mm-hmm. Precision Analytics makes it. And for any of you in this program, we don't open to the public to allow them to go to our site and order blood tests. We just don't have the staff to be able to handle it. But for people in the program, if you go to our site, it should be when you log into the membership, there's something that says lab testing. And most of the tests that I've spoken about, you can go there and find a place to order. Now you're in, well, no, I think Dutch Precision Analytics will go overseas. The blood tests you have to do locally. Yeah. But stuff like the adrenal testing and what else, we'll do stool testing and heavy metals testing and all that. Most of those companies will ship overseas. You just have to check with them. But if you go to the Precision Analytics, I don't know which.
Analytical.
Precision Analytical.
Yeah.
And you can go to their, you know, about us info page and find out if they will ship chest kits to Australia. Okay. And if they will, then go back to our site, because ours is cheaper than we undercut the money for it, because we try to give our members, you know, a lower price.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you for coming.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We are at time. Unless somebody has anything really pressing, it's time for me to move on to get ready for my thing tonight.
I didn't know if there was anybody else on the phone. There's a couple people on the phone.
So yep. I need to go. So okay. Thank you all guys for being here. Yeah, I appreciate it. And thank you for all your contributions, contributing to each other. I think we all learn a lot from each other, and we've had some really good support. You know, just keep it coming. I know you have a call with Lynn, your small group calls coming up in about 2 weeks. So, you know, if things come up here that you need answered, and then of course, post to the Facebook group, you know, because there's not been a lot of activity there, and we're happy to support you and answer questions on the Facebook group. All right. Thank you, everybody. I'll open your line so you can say unmute. Bye, everybody.
Good night. Bye. Bye. Thanks, everyone. Bye. Take care. Great sharing and helpful information. Thank you.